To Luke 24, if you will. Did you notice I got ice water this morning? I'm almost afraid to take a drink of it. What have you put in? Oh, that's good. When David was talking this morning about we are glad over in John, it says, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then the same evening, he appeared amongst his disciples while they were in the house for fear of the Jews. And he showed him his hands and his feet, said, it's I, not spirit. And then it says, and then were the disciples glad. And Scott preached that down at our place, one of the first messages ever preached at our place, well over 30 years ago. 33, 34 years ago, 35 maybe. And I remember that now, and two or three people still mention that. That's what Scott said, what would make you glad? What would make you glad? And I tell you, I was made glad today. Been made glad. All right, let's start looking here in verse 39 and read down through verse 43. And hopefully the Lord will enable me to say a few things about this. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, on the Lord Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There's three crosses here, and they stand out very, very clearly. We have three men on these three crosses. We have a cross of rebellion. That's one of the thieves. The cross of repentance. The other thief, and a cross of redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ, giving himself on that cross. And on these three crosses, you have in these men hanging on this cross, one man dying for sin, our Lord Jesus Christ. One man dying to his sin, that one thief that called on the Lord Jesus. And one man dying in his sin to be forever lost. And on these three crosses, you have one man giving life. Giving life. One man losing his life. And one man receiving life. And so here we see, and this plainly see, very clearly see, and looking at this thief on the cross that our Lord Jesus Christ saved in his dying day, a beautiful picture of the sovereign free grace of God in the salvation of one of his elect, even in his dying hour. And that's the way it is. My father-in-law was 75 years old when God saved him. So that doesn't, you know, age has nothing to do with it. It's when the Lord's pleased to open a man's heart and save him by his grace. It's when God means to manifest himself to one of his. But I tell you what, I wouldn't want to wait till I was hanging on a cross dying. I wouldn't want to wait that long. I'd want to know the Lord Jesus Christ before I got that far gone. I really would. And this dying thief's last words, in last moments of life on earth, he gave a good evidence of his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, There's few dying people left behind such a good evidence of being saved by the grace of God as this dying thief. Ain't you thankful that God saves by grace? Saves by grace. And I have several things about this saved thief that I think we ought to look at, and hopefully God will bless us and we'll see some things about it. The first thing that we see about this man being saved by the grace of God, that he had a great concern for his other thief's wickedness in reviling our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said here in verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you could railed on him. And he says this, if thou art the Christ, save yourself and us. If you're really the Christ, he's asking for a sign. If you who you say you are, if you've got the power you claim to have, and you say that you're the Christ and everybody around here says that you are, why don't you save yourself and save us with you? Save us from this pain that we're in, this suffering that we're in. And anybody, I'm going to tell you something, if you want to be saved just from trouble, you'll never be saved. If you want to be saved when you're in a storm, just as quick as the storm's over, you'll be forget about God just that quick. And that's what this fellow wanted. He wanted to be saved while he was in trouble. God, Christ, came to save men from their sins. People keep preaching about men want to be saved from hell. Men must be saved from sin. It's not hell that you got to worry about. It's your sin that's going to God's going to judge you for. It's hell, beloved, that's the result of sin. It's Christ came not to save men from hell, but from sin. And that's the issue, sin. And who can deal with that sin? And this man, he reviled the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what this other thief said. He said, don't you? He rebuked him. Now, you imagine this. Here's three men on a cross, and they're carrying on a conversation. They're carrying on a conversation. I'm going to tell you something. Most people, when they think they're way up on these crosses, there's only about a foot, no more than 18 inches off the ground. And these fellows hanging on these crosses, and they're talking back and forth to one another. And our Lord Jesus had a conversation with five people at the cross. He looked down, talked to his mother, looked down, talked to John, looked down, talked to those other three Marys. He carried on a conversation, and that just shows you what a great, glorious Savior we have. What might, what power, what control, what strength, what grace, what glory is revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he is crucified in weakness, you ever seen such power manifested on the cross and him carrying on conversations? And this one thief rebuked him. He rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? You and I are in the same condemnation. Don't you fear God? Oh, listen. And that's the thing about it. Does a man fear God? They said one of the marks of this generation of everybody is that there's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. No fear. To use God's name in vain. Use it as a byword. And yet the Scripture said, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities. If God began to come around and mark our iniquities, mark what we are, what we've done, and what we've thought in this service this morning, how we've been today, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who should be able to stand? Well, I got news for you. He marked them all, and marked them all gold. Because there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says this, whatsoever the Lord doeth, no man can add to it, or no man can take away from it. Why does he do this? That men may fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And I tell you what, back when I was a young man, not old now, but back when I was younger, I was a miserable creature. I was a miserable creature. I didn't know whether I wanted to live or whether I wanted to die. I even put a 45 to my head one time when I was in Vietnam. Says, man, this ain't no good here. But you know what kept me from doing that? I did not was going to be on that in the darkness going out there. God had mercy on me and put such fear in my heart. And now, beloved, I've got some wisdom with that fear. I got sense enough to know what it is to fear God. Got sense enough to know that God is to be reverenced, to be honored, to be glorified, to be worshipped, to be adored, to be bowed to be honored, to never attribute anything wrong with anything He says or does. Everything He does is right, just, good, and holy. And oh, and it seems like He's even against us, we just reach out, kiss that hand of providence and say, bless His holy name. Ain't that right? And oh, listen, I tell you what, He rebuked him. And I tell you something else this man did, shows you salvation's by grace. He acknowledged his own sin. Look what he says here in verse 41. We're in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly. We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. We're just getting what's coming to us. Huh? He acknowledged his own sin. Oh, listen. We receive the just rewards of our deeds. You know, we preached it last night. When Isaiah saw the Lord, also saw the Lord, high and lifted up, that's when he cried, woe is me. And when this man saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw his own sin. He saw that I'm here because I deserve to be here. If there's anything done for me, somebody else got to do it. I'm here because what I did, not what somebody else did. I'm not here because somebody mistreated me. I'm not here and acting this way because something bad. He said, I'm here because I did what I did. Look in Isaiah 64 with me for a moment. You know, this is. This is what men, when we see, here's the thing, man don't see how bad he is and then start seeking the Lord. A man won't see how bad he is until he's seen the Lord. It's seeing the Lord is what makes you understand what you are. And that's why we get worse as we get older. Because we get a greater vision of His glory and more understand something about His grace, understand something about how far He reached down to save us and how far He reaches down to keep us. Do you understand what it is to be kept day by day by day by day by day in the way we are? That He actually keeps us? Oh, what mercy! That the Lord Jesus Christ not only saves us, but He keeps us. Keeps us saved. Keeps us believing. Keeps us seeking. Keeps us crying. Keeps us reaching out to Him. And oh, this is why. Look what he said in Isaiah 64:6. This is what this man's saying. But we all are as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses, that's the best we do, all of our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag, and we all do fade just like a leaf, and our iniquities like wind have taken us away. Oh, the best that a man does, and that's what this man's saying here, said, I'm here justly. I'm here because this is what's coming to me. And I'll tell you something, beloved. We're going to face God for our own sin, not Adam's. We're going to face God for not our own sin, not our father's sins, not our wife's sins, not our children's sin. We're going to face Him for ourselves, for what we are, what we've done. And that's why Daniel said, when I saw the Lord, my comeliness in me turned into corruption. David said, it's against you and you only that I've sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I tell you one thing, I've said this lots of times. If you all really knew what I was like, none of you would ever let me in your house. I wouldn't ever get to eat at your dinner table. I wouldn't have that fellow around me for nothing. If you all knew what I was really like inside. And that's why I need the Lord Jesus. Oh, how I need Him. Oh, I've got to have Him. Just got to. Got to. And let me tell you something else about this thief and show you salvation's by grace. Look what he said in verse 41. He made an open confession of the innocence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds of what we've done. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This man ain't done anything. This man is sinless. This man's here. He ain't done. Me and you are here because we deserve to be here. But this man's done nothing to be here. Done nothing to be here. Huh? And you know, back over here, look with me in verse 14, 15 of Luke 23. Did I say 24 when I opened up the scripture? Did I? Well, I meant 23. Did y'all follow me? Did y'all find me? Oh. Unbelievable. That's what threw me off. You got me this water. Oh, boy. I'm the BP. I told you. I told you. I'm the epitome more than blame me. But look what it said here in verse 14 and 15 of Luke 23. In verse 14. Said unto them, Pilate said to the rulers and Jews, you've brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man. Touching those things that you accuse him of. You accuse him of things. And there's what you're saying is not true. It's not so. And then look what, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent him to you, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done in him. Nothing worthy of death. I find no fault in him. And he washed his hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And said he's going to wash his hands, and he thought that he'd be done with our Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved, as old Barnard said one time in a message I heard him, he's still running around in hell trying to wash his hands. Still trying to wash his hands. And I tell you something, beloved, and his wife came to him and said, have nothing to do with this just man. Oh, I've suffered in a dream because of him. And Judas said, I've betrayed innocent blood. I've betrayed innocent blood. And now they're all suffering, all these people that should have let him go. You and I know why he's there, but this we're looking at what man did. They all suffering, now their just condemnation of God Almighty, but this thief that's beside our Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him and him alone. Oh, our Lord Jesus said, Ben said, well, God's not like us. No, he's not. No, he's not. And this man said this. He looked at our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, this man hath done nothing amiss. And let me show you something else about his, back over here in verse 42. This man, God, he had faith in the Lord Jesus' power and will to save him. And he turned to the crucified Savior and suffering, and the first thing out of his mouth was says, Lord. Like you said just a minute ago, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. Now let me tell you something. When this man turned around and looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he is looking at? He was looking at a man nailed to a tree. And this man was bloody all over. His visage was marred more than the sons of men. You could see his ribs where they had beat him. His ribs showed. His back up against that cross, blood running down that cross. Blood all around his sides. Blood pouring out of his hands. They'd plucked the beard off of his face. He had bruises also where them soldiers would slap him and spit in his face. And they wouldn't even allow him to wipe the spit off of his face. And then on top of that, he had a crown of thorns with thorns about that long that they wrapped around and put on his head and squashed it down on his head. And it went down into that skin that's so down into the skin on his head. Now you tell me, when he's looking at a man that looks like that, that's what he's looking at. He's not looking at a little old blonde-headed boy hanging up there with just a... he's hanging there nude. And he's looking at this man, and you know what he says to him? Lord. How did he know he's the Lord? The same way I know it. How did he know he's Lord? Who made him understand that? Who made him see that? Who made him grasp that? Who did that? Oh, explain how he knew the Lord, but apart from revelation. Simon Peter said, oh, he asked his disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, you're Jeremiah because you cry all the time and you're so sorrowful and acquainted with grief. You're like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Another says you're like Elijah because you've got such power. For one of the prophets, he said, but who do you say I am? Why, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, oh, Simon Bar-Jonas, how blessed you are. Flesh and blood didn't make you understand that. But my Father, which is in heaven. Oh, beloved, I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, He says this. He says, nobody knows the Father but the Son. Nobody knows the Son but the Father, and who to whomsoever He revealing. And He says, in the next words is this. Come unto me, since I'm the only one that can make you know anything. You come to me. I'm the only one that's got the power. I'm the only one that's got the right. I'm the only one that's got the will. I'm the only one that can do, make you understand who the Father is. And the Father's the only one to make you know who I am. So you come to me. Therefore, come unto me. Oh, you explain revelation apart from sovereign grace. How'd this happen apart from sovereign grace? Free grace. I love the word free grace. And why I love the word free grace is that means there's no attachments to it. If you get it, it's free. Look with me over here in Luke 22. Luke 2. You know, I do that. I don't know how I do things like this. Well, I do. I do know how to do things like this. Luke 2. Look what it says here down in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just. How did he get just? Same way I got just. Looking to the Lord, and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, that one who had come and console his blessed people. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now watch this. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, the same one who told him that he wasn't going to die before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. Now watch this. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh my. You know how many babies was in there that time, David? And this man with the Holy Ghost said, that's the one right there. He picked him up and looked in an 8-day-old baby's eyes. They offered him to the Lord. And firstborn son looked at that little 8-day-old baby and said, Lord, I've seen your salvation. That shows you that salvation's in a person. That shows you the salvation. He looked at an 8-day-old baby. I've looked at a lot of 8-day-old babies. I've looked at newborn babies. I've looked at 2-year-old babies, 3-year-old babies, and 60-year-old babies. But he held that baby and says, Lord, I'm ready to go. My eyes have seen your salvation. That's what this thief is saying. My eyes see the Lord. My heart sees the Lord. My soul does. It's revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. And so you understand who he's looking at when he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking at a broken body, bleeding Lord. And Lord. And then the next thing he did, and this shows you the salvation's by grace. Next thing he did is he prayed. And you know what he cried? He says, Lord, remember me. He cried, remember me. 9 words is all he said. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. 9 words is all he said. Let me give you 5 things about this prayer. First thing about his prayer, it was short. Don't have to use a lot of words. How many times have you prayed in your heart and all of you said was, Lord, have mercy? How many times have you said, oh Lord, pity them. Oh Lord, do something for them. Just a few words. And it comes right out of your heart. And look, it was a short. Bartimaeus, he used 7 words and got the Lord Jesus Christ to stop and save him. He just used 7 words. 7 words got the Lord Jesus Christ to stop and do something for him. And look, the second thing about his prayer was, not only was it short, but it was humble. It was humble. He had already admitted that he was there because of what he did. But he said, Lord, remember me. Just remember me. Remember me. Oh, he would, you know, what could he do? And I'll tell you something else about this here. This concerned him. This concerned him. I'm praying for my soul, for my sin, for my condition, for the condition I'm in. And this is the only person that can do anything for me, this one hanging here beside me. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah. He's God hanging right there. That's what he's saying. And not only did it concern himself, but he prayed for spiritual blessings only. He only asked for spiritual blessings. He said, Lord, I want to be remembered when you come into your kingdom. That other thief said, oh, Lord, if you're the Christ, well, save thyself and save us with you. And I tell you something else. The 5th thing about it was, it's a powerful prayer. It come from his heart. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I tell you, here's the thing. The last thing he did on this earth, was he begged to be remembered by our Lord. Uh-huh. Are there any better words, last words from a sinner? You know, there are believers that don't even know was believers for years. And then they lose their minds. They get Alzheimer's. They have strokes and they can't remember anything. Because they can't remember the Lord, does that mean the Lord's not going to remember them? Ain't you grateful it's that way? There's men and women in nursing homes that's faithful to hear the gospel, supported the work for years and years, and then they get old, and somebody has to take care of them, and they go sit in a nursing home. They don't know their own children, don't remember their wives. Do you reckon the Lord don't remember them? I may
get to the place that I don't know anything, but I know one thing, the Lord will know me. And I'll show you that. Look at Malachi. Look at Malachi chapter 3. That last book of the Old Testament. Oh my. What better words, last words from a sinner. Lord, remember me. People get sick when they're dying as believers and they go into a coma and they can't pray. They can't pray. They can't hear a voice. They can't see anything. And yet the Lord remembers them. Look here in verse 16 and 17 of Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord. Oh, we were talking about that fear of God a minute ago. Then they that feared the Lord. You know what they do? They speak often one to another. They talk about Christ, talk about grace, talk about love, talk about forgiveness, justification. And the Lord listens to what they have to say. He listens to them. And He heard everything they said. And what did He do? A book of remembrance was written before Him. For who? Them that feared the Lord. Dost thou not fear God, seeing we're in the just condemnation? And listen to this, and that thought upon His name. And then look what God says about them. And they shall be mine. Saith the Lord of hosts, listen to this, that day when I make up my jewels, and in the margin it says special treasure, I'm going to spare them as a man spareth his own son. Oh my. Now back over here in our text, what? Here is evidence without a shadow of a doubt. The salvation is by grace apart from works, apart from anything a man could do. What could this thief do? He is nailed hand and foot to the tree. He could literally do nothing for his own soul. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't join a visible church, never did. He never took the Lord's Supper, bread or wine. Never walked any preacher's church's aisles. Never gave the tithe of anything that he had. No soul winner was involved here. No repeat after me. What did he do? He looked along to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man could do nothing and never done anything that we as believers do. And yet, well, listen to what happens. And I tell you something, the way of God saves a sinner is exactly always the same. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I tell you, He lives right now who saved that dying thief. So there's hope for the worst of sinners. Worst of sinners. No one, absolutely no one, ever received greater assurance that his sins were forgiven than this dying thief. Look what our Lord Jesus Christ said unto him in verse 30 to 43. This is what Christ said to him now. And our Lord said unto him, truly I say unto thee, verily I say unto thee. Now listen to this. Today shalt thou be, and this is the key, with me in paradise. Today. Our Lord had just shed His blood and then He died. And the first soul to enter glory after the shedding of the blood was a man hanging beside Him on the cross. This tells us this.
that the minute you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus that quick. Huh? And I tell you, you know what heaven's going to be? It's going to be with Him. You know, every one of us has got somebody we love that's done gone to glory. I mean somebody we really love. And it's not in my heart or in my mind to go see any of them. I never think about that. Oh, I just can't wait to get up there and see so-and-so. I just can't wait to get up there and see this one or see that one. No, the only thing I want to see when I get there is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only person I want to see. Now, ain't that right? He says, today thou shalt be with me. Be with me. This tells us that a moment a believer dies, his soul is in absolute perfect joy and happiness. No waiting period. No delay. No soul sleep. No purgatory. And J.C. Ryle said this, two thieves were on that cross that day. One was saved, that none should despair, but only one, that none should presume. Is there anybody here that feels in their heart, in their soul, that if God dealt with me according to what I've done, there'd be no hope for me? And you think in your heart, oh, Lord, 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 would you remember me? Would you remember me? Oh, our Father, blessed, blessed Savior, our Redeemer, thank you for this day. Thank you for what we heard earlier this morning through David. Oh, we heard your voice, and we were glad. Thank you for this body of believers, these saints who come out to hear the gospel this morning. Oh, what a work of grace in a man's heart that he wants to come and hear a sinner tell another sinner about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, where hearts are filled with love and gladness and joy and peace and overwhelmed with your blessed grace, just overwhelmed with it. And oh, Father, may this gospel that has been preached today and preached here week after week, may it run well. May it open hearts and open understandings and bring sinners, bring your sheep to where they trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Thank you for this opportunity, this blessed, blessed time, this privilege to worship you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.